Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. When we last left off, we were talking about the words of Jesus Christ, and in particular how Jesus uses his words to reveal that God the Father gives eternal life to those who believe in Christ. In the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, in verse 63, the Lord Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." What does he mean by this? Spirit, small s, not the Holy Spirit. Spirit speaks to the animating of the soul that comes from the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Jesus. Earlier in verse 63, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." He means that spiritual life comes only when the Holy Spirit gives Christ's life to the believer. Our flesh, for example, the good works we somehow think we generate of ourselves, these do not give us spiritual life. Only the Holy Spirit can give spiritual life to the soul, and he does this as we express our genuine faith alone, in Christ alone. So the words that Jesus speaks, these are to us spirit and life. Let me put it this way. Our salvation comes to us through the word of Jesus, the word of God. When we read the words of Christ in the Gospels, we come to understand that how we respond to the words of Jesus tells us if we are true or false disciples of the Lord. If we accept Christ's words, we truly accept him. If we reject Christ's words, we truly reject him. The words matter. Let me share with you five scriptures that highlight how true disciples accept the words of Christ. Four of these in the New Testament and one in the Old Testament. Then I will share with you three scriptures that highlight how false disciples reject the words of Christ. I hope you can follow along, now or later, in your copy of God's Word, the Bible. The clearest example of the connection between being a true disciple of Christ and accepting his words is found in this statement from the Lord in John chapter 8 and verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." We would be wise to highlight and memorize this verse. True believers persevere in our obedience to Scripture. Continue is to habitually abide in his word. Do we learn the words of Jesus, apply his words to our lives, obey his words? If yes, this is a sign and confirmation of our saving faith in him. If not, this is a sign and condemnation that we do not possess saving faith in him. I am not suggesting that temporary disobedience, falling into sin in certain seasons of one's life, always indicates a lack of genuine faith in the Lord. We all sin. We all wrestle against our sin nature. But all sincere believers also come, eventually, humbly, to Jesus and invite his forgiveness for our sins. We repent. What I am saying is that the overall trajectory of our lives is one in which we continue. We habitually abide in the Lord's words. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." John 8, 31. And let me take this opportunity to point out here that if we are going to continue in his words, we have to actually know his words. This is a plug for consistent Bible reading. Get a hold of the New Testament and repeatedly read the words of Christ, let's say each night before you turn the light off, or each morning as you eat your breakfast, or on your lunch break at work or at school, put the phone down, shut it off, and replace the meaningless moments of scrolling through social media with the words of Christ. There's an idea. Christians are people who are more than just familiar with what Jesus said. We know what he said, and we obey his teaching. In fact, this leads to our next verse, John chapter 15 and verse 7. Jesus says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Ah, to abide in Christ is to have his words abide in us. Let me say that again. To abide in Christ is to have his words abide in us. Are you abiding in Christ this day? If so, then his words abide in you, and you can ask him whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. There is a deep connection Jesus makes here between obedience to his word and answered prayer, or disobedience to his word and unanswered prayer. In other words, obedience to Christ is a prerequisite for answered prayer. A third verse comes to mind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 begins this way. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." There is the emphasis again on the word of Christ and it dwelling within us. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14 reads this way. "I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Notice the emphasis the Apostle John gives to "the word of God abides in you." He is imitating the words of Christ. And significantly, John connects the word of God abiding in us with overcoming the evil one. As you and I engage in spiritual warfare and battle the temptation Satan sends our way, our weapon is the Word of God. Hence why we must know the Word and apply the Word. And then one text from our Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, the 15th chapter and verse 16. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart." What beautiful imagery regarding how precious is the Word of God, and therefore the words of Christ. John 6:63, John 8:31, John 15:7, Colossians 3:16, 1 John 2:14, and Jeremiah 15:16 all affirm that if we accept Christ's words, we truly accept him. True disciples accept the words of Christ. The contrast is true. If we reject Christ's words, we truly reject him. These three scriptures highlight how false disciples reject the words of Christ. And Jesus is speaking every time in what follows. Back to John chapter 8, and this time verses 37, 43, and 47. Our Lord, in conversation with hostile, unbelieving, rejecting Jews, says this in John 8, 37. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, and yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you." Well, that is strong. The enemies of Christ have no place for his words in their lives. Verse 43, still in John 8, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." And verse 47, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God." Anyone who thinks Jesus is this soft-spoken, always positive, teddy bear-like personality is wrong. These are strong words, and these are right words. Jesus says that to accept him, to believe in him, is to accept his words. To reject him, to not believe in him, is to reject his words. I hope you see how important his words are. Friends, embrace the words of Christ, because in embracing his words, you will receive him, because his words reveal his person. And his words reveal God. That is, God's special revelation comes through the words of Christ. The words of Christ reveal that God the Father gives spiritual life to those who believe in his Son. I have in mind 1 Peter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. This is a great verse. For you have been born again, that speaks to salvation, through the living and enduring Word of God. Our salvation comes to us through the Word of Jesus, through the Word of God. One last scripture, which I cannot resist sharing with you. These are again the words of Jesus, and again in John, this time chapter 14 and verse 10. I know we have had a lot of scripture today, but I consider this a good thing, and so I'll add this one. And then I'll take a little time next time to explain it. John 14, verse 10, quoting Jesus, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." Ponder that. Think of how this connects to our main point. Do that and then join us again next time as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.